No, there's no Sam.
Good evening. Oh, number shop. Good evening, everybody. How is everybody? Bruce is back. Back in his...
Now we've won a game.
Now we've... The glory supporter is back.
I could not...
We were actually worried about you, Bruce. We were concerned for you.
I've just found this season just to be absolutely draining. I don't know about the rest of you. I've got the stupidity to... You go and watch some shit on the Saturday, or you watch it in France or whatever. You're taking the game however you're taking
Bonjour.
The game. And then idiots like us put our names down to fucking talk about it again the following night.
I know.
Most people are trying to forget it. And it's
we've
just like
gold.
Go on, sorry. Why struck gold?
Well, I can't tell that you've been quite disillusioned, Bruce, because I've watched you quite closely for two games without you knowing. You look bloody fed up.
Mark Middleton would like to thank you for coming on, Bruce, which is great.
No problem, Mark. Happy to help.
Round of applause from everyone, please, for Bruce coming on and showing up. Yeah. Attendance of one this afternoon. Yeah, well done. Safe journey home.
I'm not washing my hair tonight.
You're welcome for the 3 points. Have a lovely chip supper, get 3 points, and then go home.
I don't know if you've ever noticed this, Alex, but Bruce is one at halftime. Bruce is one of the most laid-back people you've ever seen sitting in a seat. He just sprawled back like this.
Well, he's a bit of a celebrity nowadays, isn't he? So he just sits there waiting for his adoring fans.
I don't know. I'm into season bloody 35 or whatever it is, 36 maybe, even watching town, and it's just like it's hard to drum up excitement anymore with the
Bruce
bloody,
is announcing his retirement
with the last 20 years that we've had. So I think it's a habit. It's a bad habit that I just go to home games. I mean, I don't make as many away games as I used to, but yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that next year that Big Dave's gonna take us. We've been from the brink of re-election in the past, and Alan B. Chilton took us to the title, so I'm hanging out for that.
Well, the last two seasons ain't been that bad, Bruce. What are you on about?
Oh, yeah. They haven't been great, mate. They haven't been great. Depends what your bar is, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean,
well, promotion's a pretty high bar.
There's been
it?
Highlights. Yeah, but Scunny are going to celebrate. In a couple of weeks, we'll take the piss out of Scunny celebrating promotion, won't we? Because of the level.
They're not getting promoted.
If they do. Sorry, I sound right. I was cheerful when it connects. I don't know what's happened.
Is it because Sam's not here? You're missing Sam, aren't you?
Let's start again. No, I am
miserable
happy.
Bastard.
I am happy. I'm fairly relieved, even though it's not mathematically done. I'm not sure we'll get anything Tuesday, but I think we will collect. I think we will collect points on Saturday.
Look, it's done, because all we need is to drop a point. So
yes,
and they're not overturning a 10-goal difference. We might be able to do that though, 6-1, 5-1s and stuff. But
exactly. But they've got Crawley. I'm just looking at the tables actually in a change from the norm. Yeah. Doing a bit of preparation, and I'm pleased their games are the way around that they are, because Crawley needs something still. I think they've got Crawley and MK Dons, haven't they? Yeah, Crawley are hanging on to the... Donny are on Creepy Crawley's coattails now, so they still need something on Saturday. So, yeah, hopefully you're right, Alex. And it is all but done, isn't it? And I do feel that sense of relief that I can finally begin to forget about this bloody car crash of a season.
I didn't know
Bruce
was
7 minutes
ignored.
Yesterday. 7 minutes yesterday where it was done, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I didn't know they equalised sort of like 88th minute or something, right. Didn't they?
I was watching it on the dodgy stream, and it was completely against the run of play.
And then you updated our group, didn't you, saying how Sutton had scored 3 minutes after we'd all been discussing that Sutton had scored.
Yeah, because it was on a delay, innit?
he even put a fiver on Harry to score the next goal after Sutton had scored, Mike.
I didn't know Bruce was loved so much. Good to see Bruce back. Look, if you're going to say anything to Bruce, just, you know, you've got to welcome him for, you know, thank him for it to come in and welcome him.
I only missed last Sunday, no? I didn't do the space you did, but I only missed last Sunday's pod, I think.
I do. Your hatred for people, for your mate, let's be honest, thanking everyone for coming and the away fans for turning up. I kind of want to see it stay now just because it winds you up.
It won't wind me up so much when we're not getting bloody battered at home every other week.
Because it becomes a sarcastic one, then, doesn't it? Thanks for coming. Piss off.
Yeah. There'll be somebody this season. We've had it where there's been fans from the Osmond asking them to repeat it because they couldn't hear themselves celebrating. They couldn't hear it. Sorry, what did he say? Oh, thanks for coming. Yeah.
Evening, Wayne. Evening, Martin. Good evening, David. Good evening, Daniel. Good evening, Joanna. Good evening, Josh. Good evening, Daniel. Good evening, Andrew, Martin, Josh again. Joanna says she got starstruck meeting me. I mean, I'll be honest, that shouldn't be a thing.
No.
Mike's done something to his hair to make himself look 10 years younger as well, by the way. He's kind of moved across. Yeah, you look a lot younger today. Where's the Tory at?
Somebody shave, mate. I've got dodgy tash.
Daniel, he's currently in the waiting for the job centre to open. We'll be going in there.
He had a good day at crew yesterday, though, didn't he? He went, to be fair to him, didn't he? He's confident. He's back and he's winning again now, isn't he?
Didn't he support Liverpool as well?
Yeah. He's had a day.
Lewis Hamilton.
We need a bit more Max Verstappen talk, don't we, really? Just to keep him...
Where is he today? What's he doing?
I don't know.
Is he going home? Has he got work? When does...
They're back tomorrow, aren't they?
MPs?
Yeah, they've got some work.
He's probably got 3 or 4 days for this quarter left of work now or something.
There'll be some picnic or something arranged on the green outside, won't there, or something? I wonder if they have a training day like schools, you know, like sort of. Today we're going to learn how to use a phone and WhatsApp.
Here's how to properly kick a poor child into the gutter.
Yeah.
I don't think the people that work in Parliament are allowed to discuss what they do in public greens, especially at night time. That usually turns up in the Guardian or something, doesn't it?
Most of the men will end up in the bushes, probably like me.
Yeah, that's true. You ended up there by mistake, didn't you, Bruce? You wandered in there completely just looking for directions.
Yeah. I was looking for a public convenience and I just happened to fall down into the bushes on top of
Thomas. And as I tried to get back up, I slipped in the mud and fell back into him again.
And today we've got a special speaker in flag breaking. We've got a special guest.
Oh my God! Could you imagine?
This is how you dismantle a flag.
does anyone want to buy any Baroque architecture? I've got a lovely painting of the Venus de Milo from Concrete Gardens. If anybody wants it,
fucking architecture! You're making references I don't get now with like architecture and stuff.
I'm so sorry. Well, we did it. We actually won a game, which, you know, but blows our content out of the water. You must feel good about it.
We didn't win on Tuesday when I went to Harrogate.
Shall we do the whole video thing and then we will talk about Harrogate? And do you want to start with Harrogate?
Harrogate can be very, very brief because it's... there was a couple of talking points, weren't there?
Cool. We'll see you in a sec. Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be in a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
They got
fancy
here.
They've
been fishing
about
there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
Really, really good job. You can't make it better.
evening, everybody. Welcome to the DN30, and we are celebrating a momentous occasion. It is time we have finally surpassed the 2009-2010 Football League total of points. It is an incredible day, even by their squad's admissions that they spent their entire season being pissed in the Laceby Arms. Our incredible brave boys have finally overcome that insurmountable target and got to a whole 46 points all on their own. Now, some may say fans may need to eat humble pie around this incredible achievement. Slating them, 6,000 fans going in, going out every week, 600 at Crewe yesterday. It is the fans that shouldn't be slating the players that managed to scrape over the line into League Football League obscurity. Obscurity, who cares? But we won. There we go. There's your intro. Was that enough of a party theme for it?
That's brilliant. That is uplifted. I am uplifted.
Thank you, mate.
Why was you talking over the music?
Yeah. You got that weird thing again, have you?
No, I could hear you.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. 46 points, Bruce. We have smashed the 43-point total from 2009-2010 out of the waters. Am I being needlessly glib on what was a pretty good performance yesterday, but overall has been a dog shit season?
We're only 40 points behind Stockport.
That's true. Congratulations to the county guys who've gone up, and same with Wrexham. Fuck off. Take your money with you.
Yeah, it looks like Mansfield. Mansfield had a little stutter a few weeks ago, didn't they? But I'm just looking at the table. There you go. They're 5 points ahead of franchise now. And then it's Crewe. Then it's Crewe somehow. We've done the double over.
Yeah, Crewe sick of the sight of us.
Yeah, if they'd have taken 6 points off us, they'd be on Mansfield's coattails.
Really?
And we'd be maybe one place lower than we are now. Maybe they need the points more than we do. Did. Anyway, we've got them, haven't we? Six whole
points.
We've
got 3 points. It was a good performance. Harrogate, though, Bruce, you went, didn't you? Thousand of you hardy souls crammed into Betty's tea rooms.
We didn't even bother going that into... Because you come into the ground. I don't know if either of you have been, but Mike might have been.
I've lived in Harrogate for 7 years. So
that's
yes.
What I mean. Sorry, yeah, you know where where it is.
But the one that John McDermott went to.
You come into the ground from the south as we come. So if you're going just to the game, you don't even go into Betty's. You don't go into Harrogate at all. You don't even get to that big roundabout with the hotel and all the leafy green fields around it and stuff. It's just we just went to the local pub. It was £6.25 a pint.
Now they've seen you come in.
Somebody complained. It is Harrogate, you know.
No, because the working men's club that bit further down the road, it's £1.99.
Okay, here's a quick impromptu game. Does anyone? I am a member at Surrey Cricket Club, currently on the verge of beating Somerset in the second game of the season, which would be lovely. Better than Yorkshire in Division Two, you know, in the mud.
What the hell?
Would any of you like to guess how much a can of Coke was in the long room at the Oval, and it's meant to be cheaper for members where we were? Would anyone like to have a guess at how much a can of Coke was? Just your normal 330 mil.
£3.50.
Oh, I was there very recently, and I think I know how much it was.
£2.70 for a can of Coke. Disgusting.
I bet Uber Eats could have delivered it cheaper with a pizza.
There's a nice little convenience store on the car.
It's meant to be Yorkshiremen that complain about money all the time. And I'm the only Yorkshireman here at the minute. I'm not the one complaining about the price of stuff.
That's what you don't leave the house.
You two closet Yorkshiremen.
He lives in Croydon. He can't leave the house. He's stabbed on his way to the shop.
Sat in Surrey.
Yeah, so Croydon. My cousin used to live near Crystal Palace, and he ended up moving out of London because he just said there was just drug deals on every corner when he's taking the kids to school and stuff.
So he's moved to Grant Thorold Park.
No, he's moved there. Moved to Oxfordshire, I think. Yeah, that's a good local reference.
Grant Thorold Park was amazing. I once experienced bonfire night there, and I watched the telephone box get exploded by about 50 fireworks.
Granny, I don't know
where that was going then?
It was an impressive sight. Stuart, we can't afford £2.70 in Surrey. That's the problem, because the house costs a lot. You guys are the ones with all the cash.
Cash is king. Northern prices.
How was Harrogate then, Bruce, other than it being expensive? Did you find a car park? Can you tell us about
food,
that?
The food was, we parked on the street between the pub, Woodlands, yeah, and the ground. Down a little side street, perfect getaway spot after you've lost, which we did. The ground was okay. There was a good town turnout. I was stood right behind the dugouts. I don't know if I think I put a picture on the group, didn't I? Maybe not. And I was stood right behind the dugouts, and it's quite a quiet ground. And we had sort of almost literally to the halfway line. And some of the fans were engaging in quite a bit of chat during the second half with Mr. Artell, and it was no surprise he got booked. And I know he referenced obviously his family circumstances and things like that, and but they all are quite moany, you know.
We could hear it.
Pearson and Artell, and they were quite whingy. None more so though, I have to be said, than us fans, because that linesman that gave the Abiquiu's header offside, that we thought was absolutely, by the time, obviously you saw it, obviously, and by the time it went in, it's like, how the fuck can he be offside? There's a guy on the line. Has he seen the man on the line? And the poor linesman, got absolute dog's abuse all night. I'm not kidding. I would not have blamed him if he hadn't just come out for the second half.
Just for being good at his job.
He got absolute dog's abuse. And then somebody sent us a picture at half time, and not everybody saw the video. And there was like a picture and a still, and it's like, he might actually have been offside then. And then obviously somebody had that perfect shot, didn't they, that they shared, that perfect video clip that they shared, and that Ref Support UK shared it or something. And he'd been getting absolute... I'm surprised nobody went on the pitch and got him, because...
Did you not even offer a little bit of humility, Bruce, and apologise to him? Sorry, Lino, that was a good call, actually, that one.
Well, I didn't see the clip. No, is the short answer. But I didn't see the clip.
Still throwing things at him.
Until the next, yeah, which I've lobbed my phone, so I couldn't message him even.
Yeah, Maisie, give me those AirPods of yours.
It changes, doesn't it, from giving him dog's abuse for making a great decision to saying, well, it might have been right, but there's no way you knew that was right. You guessed.
Yeah, you could have given us that goal. And it just felt like another one in the long catalogue of things that we've got to complain about this season as Town fans, most of it being performances. But yeah, it just was one of the things. And you just came out and it was just like, we conceded. We didn't play well in the second half. And after they'd scored, obviously, the keeper made a couple of good, really good. There was the free kick, wasn't there, that he made a really good save from. And then there was a header I think he got down quite well too. I can't remember exactly. But the only thing I can remember, and I haven't watched it back, about the goal is just how much room he had. He just had so much room on the sort of, on the, you know, 25 yards out to line one up and obviously hit a good shot that by all accounts went pretty much top corner. So it was a reasonable day. It's not one too far. We were home at 20 past 11. And it was another ground ticked off, which I, for some reason, I've never been. That's enough of Harrogate anyway. We didn't play particularly well. A draw would probably have been a fair result, would be my assessment.
The Harrogate game kind of summed us up. We really just don't have the, we just really can't get a handle on Harrogate, can we? And that strike was the only decent thing in the whole game. We just didn't close them down. Never would I have thought the performance then we saw a couple of days later at Crewe was ever capable, because, you know, it felt a bit like Harrogate wasn't actually a better opportunity to pick up some points than, say, you know, Crewe was. And, you know, we just blew them out of the water. Should we move tidily onto them? Unless, Mike, you've got to say anything from your old hometown.
The only thing I'd say is I don't think we were very good. I don't think they were very good. It was one of those where I think 0-0 would have been a fair result. Just couldn't keep hold of the ball. But other than a strike from 20, five dirty yards. I don't think there was much difference between the two, which is frustrating that you come out on the wrong end of that.
Holohan should have scored, shouldn't he?
Yes, had two good chances in the first half, didn't he? Which I think it came from a bit quick, and the keeper came out well to save. But in the second half, there was a great chance about 8 yards out on the volley.
I think he backed it, but I think Gav would back himself to put both of those away, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I feel I put on social media, you know, I feel sorry for Gav because things just aren't going right. It's every time he's got a shot off, it's not falling right. Or, you know, I just, there's very few more at the club that care, and you can see it on it. You see it just how he handles himself on the pitch. So I do feel a bit for him. I think he needs one of them to go in.
I do feel that just before we do move on to yesterday, the bar in the top, Stockport, Wrexham and Mansfield and MK Dons, the top three there is probably the best three teams that I've seen us play this year.
Mansfield played us off the park so many times.
Yeah, Mansfield are a very, very good side. If they don't go up this year, he's seriously caught.
Well, look at Doncaster, eighth now.
That's insane. Well, absolutely insane.
Yeah, they were literally knocking on. You know, before when we were stumbling around, getting obviously one of their wins was not in this current run. I don't think it was probably before that, but they obviously hammered us, didn't they? But
we could have gone above them that day.
I was just going to point out that barring the top three or four, you've then got Crewe. Barrow, I thought, were just more professional than us and more clinical. Crawley, Doncaster, Gillingham, Wimbledon, we've played recently and drawn, Walsall, and top Harrogate. Bye. That's your top that's your top half of the division. Yeah. I don't think there's anybody there that's been one of the greatest frustrations this season, that we've been losing, a bit like on Tuesday, to teams that are nothing special. And it was the fact that if we were just a little bit more competitive, we'd easily be halfway up this league this season, at least. You know, just we'd seen out some of them games where we've conceded late goals and stuff. But and anyway, let's move on to Harrogate. But I just don't think the division is very strong apart from the top. The ones that are probably going to go up automatically, I think the rest are much of a muchness. And I think that does give some optimism for next season.
Bruce's hot take is that Division 4 is a bit shit.
Yes.
But it is the problem, isn't it? And all you need is a decent set piece that works really well, which I'm sure Mike will come on to at some point. And a half decent finisher and being able to see out a game, which, you know, that's all you need to do. And that's why you saw Stevenage last year get promoted from the season before when they should have been relegated, apparently.
Your Doncaster thing epitomises this division.
Yeah.
Momentum carries you an awful long way in this division. Mm. You suddenly seem to get the result. You suddenly seem to get things going in your favour and things like that. You're just a little bit more sort of ruthless in what you do. But I think the margins are quite slender. And both of our managers have talked about that this season, haven't they? How the data and all that shit.
We're not far off.
We're not far off, but we're just far enough off that we've been shit.
I'd seen a stat that said, you know, when they take into this whole XG stuff into account, that if it had gone that way, I think we'd have had 9 extra points. We're missing the most amount of points given the amount of chances we've created all season, which stands for something, but not much. So I think we'd have been, you know, mid-table. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I put a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not sure how the stat is now, but other than the top seven, there was only two teams in League Two that had lost less games than us. That's the difference. It's all those draws and losing points and winning positions. There's obviously more across the season that you can look to for it being an issue. But 2-3 weeks ago, there was only Bradford and I think Walsall that had lost less games than us outside of the playoffs, which is incredible if you think.
You've got to go up to 13, mate, now. Bradford in 13th have lost 15. We've lost 17. Everybody below Bradford has lost more games. Notts County have lost 19 games.
Yeah. But on the side of that, only two teams have won less games than us this season.
That's what we're saying about the fine margins. You know, it doesn't really change anything. But a couple more of those draws into wins, you know, we're not a team that's getting beaten more than most teams in the league.
16 draws is two wins more than anybody. And to be fair, Sutton have drawn 13. A lot of the teams around us are very similar. Swindon have drawn in double figures. So have Salford and us and Colchester and Sutton. And then above
this podcast
that
is going to be called Bruce Reads Out the League Table.
No, no, but it's hard.
It's true. Yeah,
but then above that in mid table, they've either won or lost. And obviously, you know, win one, lose one is better than draw two. You know what I mean? They've not drawn the games. They've lost more games than us, but they've also won more games than us. So they've picked up more lots of 3 points. We'd have been more of a threat if we went back to 2 points for a win.
And that stat is helped massively by the change of form from Doncaster, where we've lost 3 from 12 games. So I think if you'd gone back to Doncaster, that stat wouldn't have been as inaccurate.
And we've lost as many games as Doncaster have, and who are now 8th. So that says a bit. The last thing I want to mention about Harrogate were it was getting mouthy, and you could hear quite a lot, Bruce. We could hear a lot on the radio as well. And I'm quite glad the Tim Potness of Harrogate fans will have to enjoy us next season, and hopefully, because there was a couple of people that were slightly disparaging, and I didn't enjoy their quotes. Lots of "see you later, get relegated." You know,
oh, you're doing my fucking head in.
Yeah,
that there bloke Jan Tonder.
Yeah,
and I tweeted him at half time and asked if they can give him a slap in the mouth. What a prick!
Who's that?
Just some guy you could hear in the background on Tumblr.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Just two things I'll say before I shut up about Harrogate. The Tannoy bloke, you will never go to a game where you get a bloke that is more middle class than Harrogate. Anybody that went to Harrogate will tell you the Tannoy bloke was he didn't have a clue. It was like it was his first ever game. Like he was one of these Premier League sort of ones, you know, the ones that you see with the where they've got all the merch around the necks and the half and half scarves and all that sort of. He sounded like he'd never been at a game. His pronunciation of our players' names was just, you know, and that was just Smith. You know, he just was like...
Congratulations to Smythe.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming, Bruce.
He was horrendous. No, they announced the attendance. They announced the attendance. No, they didn't. They announced the attendance because we were 33% over of the gate. We took 1,000 and there was just over 3,000 there. And the second one was, just to make you laugh, as somebody was shouting a dog's abuse at a Bikwu, "Get him off, he's shit. He's fucking shit. Get him off." And Artel just turned around and said, "No, he's not. No, he's not. He's." I thought there was this argument going to start between this gobby fan in the stand and Artel. And it's just like, you know, you're like, and I know it must be hard, but just bite your tongue a little bit, and you don't need to. But he could obviously hear everything because it was so quiet. They didn't sing till they scored.
That's been bugging me for a while, you know, with a big crew. He's a 19-year-old lad that's learning his trade and he's trying his fucking best. And you sit at the side of the stand and you need him to do something, you're just shouting dog's abuse at him. What's the point? Go home and shout it at him.
Maybe it's just because I saw how much work and effort and how well he played to get at Sutton that I just don't see it. I don't think he's any less effectual than any. Give me a list of 3 pages of strikers we've had in the last 10 years. I don't think he's any worse or any better than any of them. And he just reminds me a lot of Darren Mansurham. I don't think he knows where his leg is going to go, never mind the opposition player. And he has put, you know, he got the goal at Sutton, you know, so I'm
got
not...
some important ones.
Yeah, exactly. And he will go away. And I know absolutely in 5 years' time, someone will say, "Do you remember Ibikwu?" And I've got, nope. But he's no worse than a catalogue of loan players we have had that I will forget tomorrow when they leave.
Always makes me wonder. He's a 19-year-old lad. This is his first season in professional football, playing men's football. If that was one of the town graduates, if that was Cam Gardner, would you be shouting at him that he's shitting to get him off? No, you wouldn't. You've got to remember the lad's 19 years of age and he's trying his fucking best to help us out. You know, we can't change the squad. Thankfully, we're sort of nearly over the line now, but there's no point. You can't change the squad. So you've just got to get behind who's there and just shouting at them. I can't understand it. How often have we seen strikers go away from here and then develop quite well and become good strikers?
Well, at the same time, Mike, if they're shit, I am going to tell them they're shit.
Well, I don't necessarily think it works.
46 points.
Well, it's not a big fault, is it? That's the sort of point I'm making.
no, but you know what I mean. Like, there, I think there's a line, and you know, people have to draw it in their own way. I've had a go at I've lost his name. Who's the bloke from West Brom? Andrews.
Yeah,
Donovan.
Donovan. Yeah, that's it. Kevin Donovan. I've been having a go at Kevin Donovan quite a bit, and he's got the same airline, but it's just. You know, there are some players that just don't. It's like the Mac. Was it Mac? When was it Mansfield or something where he didn't flick it on and lost it, and then didn't close them down? They scored and stuff like that.
Just
people pick up people, but yeah. You know,
I'm not saying people aren't entitled to an opinion. That's obviously fine. You're an opinion, but when we're in trouble and we need the players on the pitch to dig us out of a hole, it's a bit counterproductive to start giving them abuse. I understand if you're mid-table and you're not happy, but. When everybody's digging in, backs against the wall, they've been on a great run and they're trying to get us out of trouble. It's a different discussion whether we should be here or not. You know, just back them until it's safe, and then you've got all summer to call anybody you want shit. All summer.
And don't worry, it's coming.
We've got it penciled in, haven't we?
Yeah, but I agree with that. And I think there's definitely been a mind change from a lot of us and on this podcast going, are you lot absolutely mad? Do you know where this is going? We know what relegation smells like, and you lot stink of it. And then I think when it got to a point where we go, actually, we are in a little bit of trouble here. And I would say from, when are we thinking from? What game do you think it sort of changed? Like Gillingham, for example, I definitely felt like a step change in terms of how the fans were and how supportive they were. And that's how it
actually.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Something like that. Bruce, sorry, you were going to say something.
No, it was an important. I can't even remember exactly what it was, but no, I was just trying to go back to the game, and that Forest Green game was a turning point because we didn't really have, it wasn't a particularly great game, but we somehow got a win, didn't we? You know, it was more baffling performance. They had shed loads of the ball, didn't they? But we got the goal. That's yes. Cheer me up. Talk about yesterday. About 15 minutes ago, I you were going on to it and I deviated off it, so I do apologise.
You are right. Shall we do? We'll do something. We'll do a little quick step and then we'll come back in a better mood and we will talk about a very good win at Crewe. I can't find anything I want to use. I use them that much. There we go. Crewe, we won, Bruce. You were there. Tell us about it. 600 of you in the ice cream van stand with your flake and your 99 up your nose. Tell us what it was like.
Well, I wasn't there.
Oh, what are you fucking doing on here then? Jesus Christ.
I only went to Harrogate. Maisie had a game yesterday morning, so I was on King George playing field yesterday morning.
Well, how was Maisie's game then? Let's talk about that.
Maisie's Cleethorpes team beat Gainsborough 2-0 and she scored two goals. So it was quite a tough game. They're fourth against fifth and we've moved above them into fourth now. So it was all good. It was all good, thank you. But yeah, so I watched it. I quickly hopped across the channel. I'm surprised you didn't see me actually. And took in the game.
So fast, it was just a flap.
Yeah.
He used the old hovercraft that you don't even get anymore.
I remember that when you used to be in Calais, you see that. Yeah, you see the.
Do you remember when there used to be a hovercraft in Grimsby as well, Bruce?
In Grimsby,
yeah, there used to be a hovercraft that took you to Hull.
No,
before the bridge.
I think I went on the ferry once or twice when I was little. The bridge. I don't remember a hovercraft, mate. But I was very young. Didn't the bridge open in 1980. One, two, three, something like that.
I don't know. I'm too young. It's always been there,
but I don't remember a hovercraft.
Oh, hang on.
I know that when you couldn't get the ferry, you have to drive all the way round to go and see my auntie that lived in Swanland, and that was just like, you know, it's like driving to Norwich.
I'll be honest, not a lot of us have driven all the way round to go see your auntie.
Well, you wouldn't have had to because you lived on the right side.
Then I heard that.
The right side of the water to see my auntie in Hull.
I didn't know we had such a Hull aficionado on the show. He wants to do that more by the Tigers chant, doesn't he?
Tigers. Oh, come on, let's start talking about how are we? We're still 35 minutes in nearly, and we're still.
Well, we'll do it exactly on 35. Grimsby Town 3, Crewe Alexandra 0. It's another win against Crewe, who I've always seen as our bogey team in the old Division 1 days. We always never used to get, you know, a result, but we did. And Mike, you can finally talk about Doug Tharm, because apparently we need to offer you apologies, because that was a clear goal and that goalkeeper had no chance of stopping that bullet of a header from Malarkey. Would you like to take it away?
No, I don't want to talk about his throw-ins now. You've put me off. I would say that goalkeeper's lucky to still have his hands attached with the force. Oh, that,
yeah, my God. He's an emergency loan keeper, wasn't he, from Poland that came in for Crewe. And I was expecting him to have a worldie.
Can I just tell you, I was looking on Twitter, obviously, before the game about him, and all I saw on Twitter was, he's the best shot stopper in League One. He's the best shot stopper in League One. And then two of our goals, you think, he probably should have done better with those.
That first goal, he should have. I mean, it's a great throw. I haven't seen us win one of them. It's nothing to do with Tharm, but it hasn't necessarily worked in the past. But a nice little header by Malarkey. And what usually happens is the defender stands in front of whoever we're meant to be aiming it to, and they comfortably head it away. But Malarkey got it in, and it was such a bullet that the goalkeeper couldn't keep it out. Nice start to the day, but we always start strong. It's the second half when we go to pieces, but we didn't, did we? Two goals. Please help us.
Just with that throwing, I think the point I made last week is it actually came from a defensive throwing getting up the pitch, which again is a great way to get us up the pitch. And I think Artel said after the game, he'd spoken to everybody that's usually involved in the throwing or trying to get on the end of it about not utilising it enough. So nice timing that it's worked. I think in terms of the game, I think we were much the better side. I think we completely dominated them. I was aware from reading up on their message boards and what have you that they did have a lot of injuries. So I wasn't too surprised they were support. I'd probably surprised at how poor they was. But I think the difference between the game against Harrogate and Crewe, we just simply kept the ball much better in the middle of the park and won it back a lot quicker. And once you do that, you could see that in the second half that they just couldn't get out of their half for 15, 20, 25 minutes. And we just built up pressure and built up pressure. I think we've had one of these results come in, I think against Bradford and Newport, although we won 1-0 and conceded a late penalty to Bradford, I think we created a lot of chances and could have done better. So I think we had a game coming where we got a couple of goals ahead, but no, great performance by everybody. There's, you know, Green's probably one you'd pick out as a good performance, but I think everybody.
So why do you think it is with Green? Because he's so polarizing amongst the fan base. Like, you know, some do go, you know, some do enjoy him, some don't. But it seemed that when he has a more of an attacking role and is allowed that little bit of freedom to get forward, it's working for him, isn't it? And it's, you know, a bit of a difference for him.
Personally, I think he's better when he's told to get involved with stuff. You know, don't just sit there mopping up play. Get involved, have a battle. You know, this is your job, go and do it. And I think he's a grafter that will roll his sleeves up and he'll go and try and dominate whoever he's playing against. If he's sat in front of a back four, it's a lot more, it's a lot different than, you know, trying to get up there and compete for things. So, but I think good... The front two probably need a lot of credit as well, because we lost Danny Rose, and that could have been quite a big moment when we lost him. But I think they both sort of rolled their sleeves up and helped the team out. And it was just, 21 shots on goal, 3 goals, clean sheet, fantastic.
And it really didn't look like it was going the right way when Danny Rose went off injured. Is there anything more to be known about that injury?
I think Artel said at full time he was telling him he couldn't put weight through his foot, but he seems to be hobbling around on the pitch afterwards. So maybe just a contact injury as opposed to something more serious.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad, but I'm quite surprised that Crewe stayed at 11 men on the pitch. Their right back got booked quite early on. Charles Vernon was turning him inside out. But Thompson was all right as well. I thought, you know, all in all, everybody had a really solid game yesterday. And really, you know, impressed upon Crewe who just couldn't get out of their box. And their manager was quite, you know, quite honest about it. He says, we were completely and utterly dominated from minute one to minute 90. And you can't ask more than that from your players.
I had a bit of a moment where I misread that yesterday. I thought he said they dominated.
No.
I saw that.
No. He was very complimentary, you know, but he's an old teammate of Artel's. So you know, maybe he was doing him a favour. Bruce, what were you going to say?
I think it was a meeting of two sides that on the day were polar opposites, wasn't it? Crew were absolutely awful, and we had a plus day. Just going back to your green point, I mean, how many players we've talked about Holohan regularly this season? You know that if he has a good game, we play well. You know, when he plays well, we play well, and whatever. You know, Harry Clifton, oh, he's had a great game. Clifton was everywhere today. Clifton did this, Clifton did that. Next game, oh, Harry Clifton's limited. You know, he's what? I think the midfield, until Thompson's come in, there's been nobody that's been consistent. And you look, and that reflects in the changes that we've made through the team, through the season. Andrews has played in there. Woods played in there. Clifton's played in there. Holohan, Green, Thompson, you know, the list, Ainley, you know, Ainley when he's been fit and available, you know, we've not really, until this last couple of weeks, nailed down a solid central midfield. And your midfield is probably the key component in your team, isn't it? And ours this season hasn't been consistent enough and good enough on a regular basis to either help out the attack or to protect the, you know, yesterday we had a wing back score, we had a central midfielder score, and we had a defender score, didn't we? And we got three goals without Danny Rose on the pitch and without Danny Rose scoring or Wilson, you know. So it's just, I think next year, I think our midfield needs an overhaul in the summer. It could be that only Thompson remains of them all. I don't know. We'll see. Well, that'll be a discussion for another day. But. Yeah. I just think that the midfield was very good yesterday. Green was good, Thompson was good, and Holohan was good. And I think that helped the rest of the team and gave them confidence going forward and at the back.
Si Hodson says that Rose walked to the bush carrying crutches but not using them, and he seemed quite confident and hopeful it was not too bad. So yeah, there's the closest we can get to an update on Rose.
Do you remember that old physio room website?
Yeah.
Where you could go on and see how long your players were injured for.
No, I don't.
Do you remember Physio Room? I'm sure it was physioroom.com or something like that.
Yes, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe two days. If each club had a super fan like Si that went and stood next to the bus, and, you know, and in the week they'd go and stand outside the massage room and, you know, the treatment room and be sort of peeking through the window and stuff to see what was going on.
Can you imagine doing that with Dave Moore? Dave Moore would just take to fuck off, wouldn't he?
Just in terms of midfield, Bruce, I don't know if you agree, but my sort of thoughts on it is we've got players in there that when they have a good game, are good technically, can hold on to the ball and can dictate a game, but not a lot. In fact, none of them, I would say, don't have any pace. So when they're having an off game, the pace that ordinarily would get a midfielder out of trouble and being able to cover the ground and maybe make up for some mistakes isn't there. They're all sort of one speed, aren't they? They're all a bit slower. And if they're not on their game, then the pace doesn't get them out of the problem.
No, you're probably right. And if you think about it, what I was moaning about on Tuesday's goal, you know, yes, it was a great hit, but he looked like he got the freedom of Harrogate to take the shot. You know, there's nobody got to him and closed him down. And I do think, like you say, when we play badly, from when we're attacking, it looks like, well, if we've got the, I sit in the lower, so you know you're seeing that side of the pitch. But the amount of times this season where somebody's gone forward and then you've looked around and there's been none of this. If the play's been switched, we often try and play this diagonal. You know, we move the ball along the back line, and then if you're playing wing backs, quite often you've got a player that just ends up isolated. And then you look inside and none of the midfielders have got across the pitch to get there. Like you say, they've not got the big strides to get themselves across the pitch and up and down the pitch. So, you're probably right. we're probably, like you say, those players that we've mentioned, you know, Henry Clifton's, is he quick or does he just work hard? He's probably quicker than, he's probably quicker than Holohan, Green, you know, and people like that. But yeah, I agree. There's no out and out pace in our central midfield positions.
And that probably accounts for, as you were saying, a lot of the goals we've conceded have been in transition. You know, you can't get your players back into a bank of four, a bank of eight, or whatever it is to defend. So yesterday, the three in midfield, Green, Houlihan and Thompson, all had good games, so we had a good result. Now, if those players aren't having a good game, then that's when we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think Thompson's just upped everybody's level a little bit as well.
He's getting fitter, isn't he? He's getting more game time.
He's an absolute beast. Getting him off the way that he just gets his, all he has to do is get his arse in between, you know, player and ball, and they ain't shifting him. You know, you'll see him on the touchline, and he's sort of, you know, he's nearly bent over because somebody's pushing him in the back or whatever. But his legs are just like tree trunks, just sort of steady. He's such a strong player, and it fills me with quite a lot of optimism that you've got Tham, Thompson and Rose as a spine for next season, and you start from, you know, we're starting from there, and I'm not trying to move the conversation on at this point to next season, but those three players down the middle of the team coupled with a decent goalkeeper who could, from what I've seen, could be Eastwood. Whether he's got consistency enough, but since he's come back into the team, barring that kick yesterday that I'm sure we'll have a bit of a laugh about now, we can, you know, he's not put a foot wrong for me since he's come back, apart from that one mistake.
Well, I think that, you know, full credit, he has come into the team in quite a high pressure environment, and he's conceded a worldie and a penalty, you know, and kept two clean sheets, so he's done well. I think the jury's still out on him in terms of whether he's good enough to be a first.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's definitely answered the question about he is plenty good enough to be the second choice next season. So instead of a couple of months ago, we'd said we need two keepers, I think you just need to bring one in next season. I think Eastwood is plenty good enough to be an understudy, put pressure on another keeper and come in if you need him, because he's come in under a lot of pressure and done really well.
I'm looking, you know. Well, first of all, as Daniel Ray wants to know, Mark, you've got to mention Mark, Bruce, whatever that means.
It's a middle-aged running club. It's our little old boys trainer gang.
Nah.
It's struggling at the minute. I've been out for a couple of months, and I've carried on drinking and eating crap, and went out yesterday morning and did a half a mile around the prom and down the front and stuff. Four and a half miles. And I was not up to speed, shall we say. But Dan's way above me in the fitness stakes at the minute.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Jay says he's better than Cartwright. I think we need a keeper who can pass a ball properly. I mean, only the one time, Daniel, but it was a hell of a time. And
we need outfield players that can do that in front of a goalkeeper, please.
One thing I did
can I just say about that?
No.
Sorry, Alex. Sorry. I thought you were going to move on. I just wanted to say something about that. Don't give it back to your keeper on his weak foot when he's under pressure. How stupid is that? Put it back on his left foot.
One thing I did notice in the replays as well is the ball actually held up in the mud just a fraction. And if it didn't, it would have gone in. So we had a little bit of luck there. Apart from the normal luck we've used up all season is, thank God there are two teams at least that are shitter than us. And that is the luckiest I think we've been in years, to be perfectly honest. Just me.
I think we'll finish above Salford.
It's not a bad shout. And, you know, this team is different from the team that, you know, was getting its ass kicked by everyone who wanted to turn up to Blundell Park for, you know, a nice chippy evening. And thank you for coming and take your 3 points home.
Yeah.
It's a different team.
Did you see the numbers that I put out yesterday about, since we conceded all those goals, how many we've conceded?
Absolutely not.
So if you take out Wrexham and Barrow out of the equation, you go for the 10 games after Doncaster, we've conceded 5 goals and kept 5 clean sheets, 2 of which a penalty that wasn't a penalty and a late penalty before that. I think the 10 games previous to that, we'd conceded 26. That's an immense turnaround in.
But Mike, if you take out Walsall and Doncaster, because they don't help the narrative, then it's less.
Well, no, because I was trying to go. I think Wrexham and Barrow.
I'm only winding you up, mate. I'm only messing about.
It's not taking them out for the point of it. I think you've got a team that spent a shitload of money and a playoff team away. I think, you know, you can maybe write those off a bit.
Mike,
Doncaster can still make the automatics.
Mike, didn't you want to talk to me about a certain player being available for contract, yeah? Was that not what you wanted talking about at some point?
Oh, yeah, I was asking when the Ryan Bennett-Bogle discussion starts, and I'm led to believe by reliable sources that Omar Bogle is out of contract this summer.
Are we putting that one to bed then?
That really doesn't work for the majority of people that watch this, that listen to this on a trip.
It's a very old man. Bruce, he's like Bogle, he's like 50 years old and he's got bad eyesight.
I'm 49 on Saturday, mate.
So you basically.
I said it with very much a tongue in cheek about the Bennett Bogle thing, and then somebody mentioned about no Bogle's crap. And I found myself saying, well, he scored 17 goals last year and eight in an injury hit season this year. And I'm like, don't do it, Mike. Just don't do that to yourself.
We're taking on the overseas market now, aren't we? That now those rules have been relaxed about work permits.
Well, apparently, wasn't Joe meant to be out and he missed his flight got cancelled. So he's at least going to Belfast.
Umberside to London. Going to Gatwick.
To Gatwick.
He's added some European leagues into his champ manager.
He's got a large database now, has he?
He's had to wait longer for the game to start because he's added in Swedish league and the Norwegian league and things like that.
It's a good. You're muted, Alex.
Were you enough to play champ manager or was it football manager?
I play it now.
You still call it champo?
Yeah, it's still champ manager. Like your Championship Manager 4 was pretty good. There was also football, like FIFA tried to, like whoever, like EA Sports tried to do a manager one as well. And you could like build the ground as well. So you could like.
Oh, that was so good.
And there was a Polish player called Back, BAK, and you could buy him for $6,000 and he was an 82 out of 100. Then you also had Ultimate Soccer Manager, which was the one where you could also build your ground, but you could also bung the referee money and also bet on your games as well, which was quite good.
FIFA Manager was so much better because you could buy yourself a car and then build club shops and all
That's
sorts.
That's the one, Mark.
I used to love that, yeah.
I can't remember when which version of Champ Manager it was. Champ Manager 2, I think I was
1964.
No, Commodore 64. I used to play it then, and I had this striker called Ivica Mornar, who was he was mustard. You know, found him in some European league. But when I used to do Town, it was when Danny Murphy and Neil Lennon were both youngsters at Crewe. And you could go in, even as Grimsby, you could go in and pick the two of them up or at least one of them. They both moved on. As soon as the game started, within a few weeks, they'd moved on. But if you got in quickly enough, you could often snaffle one of them. And that they were quality players. But do you remember when it used to go into the main menu and it sort of, your game time was, there was like 7 days, 24 hours or something. And it'd just say, it's time to go and get some fresh air or you need a wash. Or something. It just give you a little sort of derogatory sort of things of why. But that game though, you just used to lose hours and hours and hours on it. Just you'd sort of the start of the season when you were doing a bit of scouting and stuff, and you were looking around, and you'd realise you'd been playing for an hour and a half, and you'd played one friendly or something. It was brilliant. Then it got too complicated.
Why have I bought 12 right backs from the Peru? But is that rule the one they've relaxed, the one that stopped you on Footy Manager being able to sign foreign players because of work permits recently?
I think so. I think somebody said that there's, yeah, we've been.
Because you can this year, so they must have changed it.
Yeah, I think it was one of the, I think it was one of Big Dave's interviews. You know, he said that, like you say, he hinted, didn't he, that they'd be looking at the European market. So I just don't know. His flight wasn't up to Glasgow when they were looking at Rangers players.
Mike, look at this. Yeah. Does this music take you back? This is a game. Can you remember this one, Bruce? Ultimate Soccer Manager 97, 98.
No. What was it? What platform was it on?
PC.
No. I'm a
this
different
is the
generation.
Best music.
Joanna. We used to play Kickoff 2 on the Amiga. Now that was a game. What a game that was. Dino Dini's Kickoff.
This is montage music, isn't it? They'll do match day moments to it soon.
Oh, this is going to be our new theme tune.
Do you remember the? Do you remember the old World Cup game in the arcades? Was it like France 98 or something? They saw it in the bowling alley in Cleethorpes.
I remember that.
Yeah, they used to have a little mini arcade in the bowling alley near the slush puppy machine and that.
I read an article very recently that showed that somebody had actually completed Championship Manager, hadn't they? They'd played as long as you...
It was Jay from The In-Betweeners.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? you can't... Yeah, you can't complete it.
You can.
I can. I did, yeah. I got that good that the FA offered me a job in the England setup.
I took Woke into the Champions League final.
In six seasons, wasn't it?
It turned out like 1,500 years or something, the game just crashed.
Oh. Take Grimsby Town out of League 2, it crashes it.
how many points
are we going to win? No team in the league area.
How many points are we going to win the division by next season?
Now do you know what? It's going to be such a momentous season next season that the Ross Tiger is going to be changed its name to Piss the League. That's how big a thing it's going to be.
There were still. I've seen like on the club. I don't know if you look at what like the club socials and stuff, but
no.
I've seen like today. You know, we won 3, and there's still. How do you both feel about the manager now? Because obviously, we all had. I think he's here next season. My thing is, he's here next season. I'm quite happy with. I'm quite happy with that. I don't have a problem with that because I've seen enough now that he's. He's adapted and he's changed what he was doing to suit the situation that we found ourselves in. And I'm a little bit more comfortable that I feel that going forward that I think he's going to get us playing some nice football, but I don't think it'll all be suicidal like we felt it was before. I think we could do all right with him. But I still see, do you think that there's going to be like there was with Hurst because of the carnage that we had 6 weeks, a couple of months ago? Do you think there's going to be, as soon as anything goes wrong, there's going to be a group that didn't like him then, that had tolerated him, that will jump on him like they did with Hurst?
I'm sure there will be, but the thing that I've taken, I'm unsure. I don't know. And but the thing that I'm clinging to is the players that he has brought in have improved the team. Thompson coming in for Conte was the right change to make. Conte, I think, has got a lot more potential in him, but I think Thompson currently is a better player and is a leader on the pitch. I think Tharm is a better player than we've got at the back than we do. Smith and Hume, not so sure about, but they were, they certainly answered a question when, both the Fete and Glennon were the only answers either side. Sorry, Mike. And that's one thing that I am clinging to, is that I think he has made some decent signings, and I'm happy for him to that opportunity. If we'd have got relegated, I don't think I'd have wanted someone with an 18% win percentage and has just relegated us to the National League. But I think he's earned the opportunity to take next season on.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think we've spoken last couple of weeks, haven't we, Bruce, about it, that, after that Doncaster game, maybe naively in my case, is I didn't see or I've not seen many managers change style so quickly and so effectively that I've probably sort of ruled that out. So you're seeing the football we're playing and thinking that's how we're going to play for the rest of the season. Well, there's no chance that's going to work. I didn't see the obvious conversations that went on and change of style and what have you, that I didn't see that coming. So that's why I was like, well, we're going to have to change it. But the bloke's proven everybody that sort of doubted him to some extent wrong. I've always said I quite like the fella. I said at the time, I thought he was the right manager at the wrong time. Now, next season is the right time of pre-season. He's got a full transfer window. I'm excited to see what he can do. Maybe not be as expansive as he wants to be, but a little less pragmatic, bringing the players that can play the way he wants to play. And I think I put out on social media earlier that the group of players that's left after this season is not terrible. You know, there's some good players in there and there's a couple of players that will do a job as squad players. So I think he's got a good base to go into the summer. And if the quality of the players are going to be like Tharm and Thompson that we're bringing in the summer, I think we'll be good. So I'm positive. I think, yeah, I like what I see and, you know, I like what I hear. So I think I think he'll get a bit of criticism if he starts losing, but that's the same with any manager at any football club.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into the season, you know, pessimistic. I still feel like I found this season really, really draining, and I need a break from football after this season.
Well, unfortunately, the Euros is it.
Yeah, but luckily our season finishes quite early, doesn't it? I've got about True. 6 weeks before the Euros start. So that's just how this season's left me. I don't think any of us saw this coming when we were playing Bradford off the park at the start of the season. We could have gone second with that win if we'd have held on. I don't think any of us saw how this season would just unravel. But somehow we've got to the point, like you say, with a little bit of what's gone on in the window, players that we've brought in, you know, other players starting to rediscover a bit of form. We've got to a point where it looks like we should now be all right. And I think we'll, whatever happens Tuesday, I've got a feeling we'll beat Swindon on Saturday. So I'm going into next season, not dead excited, you know, but obviously that changes, doesn't it, over the course of the summer, and you make a couple of signings and, you know, we'll all be putting the August mortgage on promotion. But I'm certainly not going into it downbeat and downhearted. Like I say, I need a break. I think we all need a break from it. But, you know, I think going into next season, there's room for optimism. And I think, like you say, I'm intrigued to see what players come in and who we retain.
Are we a touch previous talking about this already when we're not actually mathematically safe?
We're safe. We are
650-1 to go down. So if everybody listens to this goes and puts a tenner on, if we do go down, we can chuck it in the transfer fund.
That's an amazing idea. But look, today's a momentous day. Someone has noticed it. Bruce, you need to go and get your calendar from behind you, and we need to see who is next on the list.
Jesus, that's late. It's the 5th, it's the 14th.
Okay, the music needs work. I did it on the fly.
It's the 14th. Bloody hell, how bad's that?
Are we scraping for features at the minute?
Hours up, isn't it? we've actually done this, haven't we, before? But Toby scored, didn't he? So maybe Toby should stay.
No.
Drum roll.
Oh, hang on, I've got that. Hang on, Bruce, wait a minute. I've got to go find the drum roll.
Hang on.
Here we go. Right, go.
This didn't seem appropriate when we looked about a month ago, but it's the man for April, Jake Eastwood.
Two clean sheets in April so far.
Yes. There you go. Jake Eastwood.
Turtles.
He wasn't anywhere near the team when we talked about this a bit ago. And he's the last man. He's the last man for the season. May, Gav Holohan, Anthony Glennon in June, Alex Hunt in July. Oh, might be some pages we're taking out here. But when the season starts again, look who's Mr. August.
Beautiful man.
What a good looking man he is.
He is, my God. The streets of Cleethorpes don't know what's happening.
Just look at his eyes.
It's looking. Can you imagine if the bags ball was still a thing?
they're not his teeth.
He wouldn't get out of the bags ball. He wouldn't get out of the bags ball with his clothes and everything else intact, would he?
That's because you'd be ripping them off
Rose.
Him.
Danny Rose. Right. So Glenno's gone. Let's get rid of Glenno. No, I don't mean he's gone. I mean he's not there at the minute.
Hang on.
Don't make Mike cry. Mike, hey, hang on.
Here we go.
Brought my mood right down now.
Look at Mike's little sad face. Can't believe you've done that to him, Bruce.
There we go. Jake in goal.
Look how sad he is.
Fellas.
Maisie wants him to stay Sam as well. Feels. Maisie wants Holohan to stay. She's got Holohan on her shirt this year and she wants it again next year.
Right, hey, last thing. Yeah.
Go on. No, I was going to say next year we'll have a new kit manufacturer, won't we, by all accounts?
How do you know that?
That's the rumour, isn't it?
I think it's widely published. No, it was announced how long the deal with them was, wasn't it?
And does it finish this year?
Bruce, have you got any ideas of who the new one is?
I hope it's Adidas. It's GTS.
Goaler.
GTS, our own shirts again. They'll rip your nipples off.
Shall we get Norris the Rubber Man? Should be the club one.
Norris the Rubber Man. I thought you were going to say Rolly then. You didn't talk about Rolly last week, did you? That was just reminding
me. We didn't.
Me.
Well, we thought it'd be kind enough to wait for you because
just reminded me. We nearly forgot. Had you remembered?
Yeah. We've got all the videos that you'd put in, hadn't you? But that kind of led on to one other thing. Which of these do we want to keep for next season? Do we want to keep this one? Or do you think we can get rid of that?
I like that, though.
Well, what happened then? I didn't even notice what happened then.
It's been underused.
Well, that's his fault.
Considerably.
I don't think we need that.
Can we play the Despot Totalizer one more time?
I don't think I've got it anymore. I think I've deleted it.
I probably deleted it that day you let me on the reins.
Got Bilingo watch.
That doesn't work very well. We need to consider the majority of listeners.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, isn't it? We've got the Harry Clifton one.
Oh, I'm just wild about.
I was going through a thing.
Going through a quiet period at work.
That's going through quiet. Oh no, we do. There we go. Sorry. There you go. I've got this one we never used.
Bring back Tonda's Tash.
Bring back Tonda's Tash.
The pictures.
Have you been reading the John Tonda files on that they've done on Cod Almighty?
Not yet, no. I've got this one as well.
He's showed a real mature performance.
Scunthorpe United have lost 4-0 at home to Exeter City this afternoon.
Love it.
Reaction to come.
That used to start the pod, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It's amazing. John Paul Pittman, what a legend.
Love it.
That's just so good, isn't it?
I tell you something, Ollie Turner was enjoying being in the bright lights of the Football League yesterday, wasn't he? What do you mean I have to commentate on Scunthorpe v, Western Athletic under-8s?
I can't remember. It was somebody pretty tin-pot yesterday. I can't remember who it was now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but they won 5-1, didn't they?
Doing what? Oh, they were playing. I thought it was about Disney,
though. Scunny were playing.
Well, there we go. And then, Bruce, I want to pass on to you because I remember listening to Rowley. One of my favourite bits of commentary ever from Blundell Park going from its normal 1% atmosphere to 100% anger and venom when... Paul Pesky Salido decided to hack down Peter Handerside for no particular reason.
That is off.
That is off. Yeah. What an amazing piece. Rowley sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who don't know, he used to do a lot of the commentary with John Moore on the highlights videos, and he was a fun one to have around, wasn't he, Bruce? I'll try and find some of the videos you put on here, actually.
He was. Obviously, I've known of Rowley for years with the, you know, the videos, and he, you know, him and John used to be on all the videos that I used to do. I think Rowley probably stopped doing it probably 2000s, early 2000s. And obviously John carried on with the film crew that there is now, Martin and Camera and Graham Shearsmith. But Rowley started it in the earliest tapes that I've got that they did were 82, 83 and 83, 84. And clubs just weren't filming then. Not clubs of our size. But he's just been, over the last sort of 5 or 6 years when I've been doing the account on Twitter and stuff, I just thought, if I can get hold of Rowley Godfrey, I wonder if I can get hold of Rowley Godfrey. And I'd seen him on Facebook, and I think I added him on Facebook and just sort of said what I was trying to do and what I was, you know, did he have any tapes or anything? And the next thing, you know, sort of a few days later, you're in his front room with a cup of tea, and he's just, he couldn't have been more helpful. I mean, I must have 200 tapes of his in my loft that he made it clear when he lent me them that he didn't want them back. They were in his loft, and he couldn't get up in the loft anymore, and he didn't have any need for them, but he just couldn't have been. And then he would ring me. I found these other tapes, and he was a larger in life. A lot of people know him from, you know, the pubs and clubs. He was well known around the Fish and the Hainton and other pubs around town, you know, in with pretty legendary sort of status of knights. And I think he ran JD's as well, or Dean's as it was called at first, which I believe is in tribute to a hero of his. But yeah, he just was a really, really couldn't do enough for me. And he would ring up randomly. Oh, did you know that, you know, so-and-so Bobby Cummings coming back this weekend, we've got him in the club or something. And he just knew so many people, and he was just a really, really nice bloke. And he was just very, very helpful to me. And thanks to that, you know, we've got a lot of the stuff that's now digitized that we've got forever. I knew he hadn't been well for a while, and you know, I don't think it was a great surprise in the end, but it's always sad, isn't it, when you, and we seem to have had a year, don't we, of you know, some absolute horrifying, shocking things.
And year, isn't it?
It's, you know, on and off the pitch, it's just been a sad year for the club. And you know, when they do that thing at New Year at the end of this year, and we're only in April, you know, there's going to be some you know, some tears shed for the people that aren't here anymore. But yeah, he was a great guy, a legend around the town, and we owe him a great deal of thanks for, you know, the videos and stuff that, and the filming that he did before his time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll leave it on that. I think you can't think of a better way of doing it. We'll play out a couple of bits from him, and then we will see you all next week. If you're going to Colchester, enjoy it. Safe travels down. Hopefully they won't get it called off again. I wouldn't mind sending them down, to be perfectly honest. It's about time they stopped circling the drain and just committed. But thank you, Bruce, for that. That was really appreciated. Mike, as always, thank you for your younger looking self for turning up.
No worries, mate.
See you all next. Bye.
I'll tell you what, as you know, I'm a cricket fan. I'd had enough of the West Indies. They're coming this year with the steel drums and the dustbins. I don't want to see drumming on a football ground. Bad enough listening to your missus. It's the sort of weather you'd send your mother-in-law for a packet of fags. Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be in a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
They got a penalty here, they've been fish flying about that. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of